Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. Well, it's almost Christmas. And you know what that means. Merry Christmas. It means those of you that have kids or grandkids, you're going to be around them. They're going to wake up early Christmas morning and they're going to run to the tree and they're going to grab their presents and they're going to beg you to open them and they're going to whine and complain and then they're going to shout at you and then you're going to be like, calm down, it's Christmas. And then eventually you're going to let them open their presents and they're going to open them and it's going to be this flurry of paper and chaos, right? And then they're going to open it and they're going to look at it and they're going to go, that's the wrong thing. That's not the color I wanted. They're going to open the present, look at it, throw it over there, and then start playing with the box. One of my favorites is they open their present, they're excited about it, and then they look over and see what their baby sister has got, and they go, yoink. And they grab the thing from the little innocent baby child and start playing with that, even though you just got them the $60 Lego set. They want to play with the baby toys. Has anyone experienced any of that stuff? None? None of it? Really? I can't tell by your facial reaction whether you're serious or not. There's been none of that. You have done perfectly with your gift buying. But you never dealt with any of that stuff. Well, do you want to preach this message? Because I'm at a bit of a loss. Well, anyways, where was I? Right. Yes. Anyways, it's not uncommon that we get to Christmas and whether we felt it or our kids have felt it or our grandkids or siblings or whatever, there's this dynamic where quite often we go through Christmas and people get gifts and then they're not satisfied with the gifts. They find something wrong with it. They end up feeling disappointed or frustrated. You put all the time and effort into getting something for someone, and then they start complaining about it or criticizing it. And other times, you just look at the Christmas list and you go out and you buy absolutely everything you can on the Christmas list for them and you give them absolutely everything, but you're left feeling drained by how expensive or how much work it was to get all that stuff for them. You find that you get them something and they play with it for a couple days or maybe for an hour and then they forget about it. And part of that is just our commercial society where we've just got so much stuff. But I think there's another issue that very easily creeps into our Christmas culture that tends to hijack and ruin Christmas to make it less and less merry. And it's kind of a nasty word. It's not a word that we use a lot. It's not a word that we talk about a lot. But it's a word that I think we need to deal with, we need to face, in order to have a Merry Christmas. And that nasty word that we don't use hardly at all in our culture anymore is called covetous. Covetous. coveting. Now, you may be familiar with that word from the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's donkey. But you have that in the Ten Commandments. And so we have this word covet, and it's not something we use a lot. But at the root of it, the word just kind of means desire. Thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's property. Don't have this deep longing desire for something that you can't have. And so that the word in the Old Testament is used quite often, not just in the Ten Commandments, but it's about desiring good things too. And so it's not like desiring something in and of itself is necessarily bad. What it boils down to is desiring or wanting the wrong thing or the right thing at the wrong time. And when we come into Christmas, quite often that desiring, that coveting feeling boils up inside of us, and we start looking around us and we want and we want and we want and we want. And these aren't necessarily things that you need, and they aren't necessarily things that you should have or have a right to have, or they may be good things, but now is not the time to have them. And coveting quite often brings up this feeling of jealousy, anger, frustration. It feels like a competition. You start looking at other people and you start putting those people down. You start having this sense of hostility and sometimes even hate or bitterness towards other people because you see what they have and you're like, well, how come I don't have what they have? And you feel depressed about yourself personally, and then you start feeling like you've got to put them down. Well, they're probably such and such, and or they did this, and so they probably don't deserve it, or I'm mad because they've got this, and I don't, and it creates all kinds of negative emotions and negative reactions, and it starts building walls, and that can happen between siblings, that can happen between you and your kids or your grandkids, and it creates all kinds of weird tension. And it's not healthy, it's not helpful, and it ends up quite easily creeping in and ruining Christmas, making it not so merry. They look at what they've got, and it's not good enough. They look at what they've got, and what they want is more. They want something different. They want what somebody else has. And we need to call it what it is, and that's coveting. And that quite easily robs us of the merriness of Christmas. Pastor Brad's going to come up, and he's going to help me kind of demonstrate how coveting works and why it's problematic. And hopefully, we can figure out what we can do instead. Because the thing about coveting, and especially around Christmas, is that, okay, I think we can all agree that it is part of our Christmas culture. It has snuck in, hasn't it? The question is, what do you do about it? How do you get rid of it? What is the path forward? How do you get your Merry Christmas back? If covetous is part of it, how do you get rid of the covetous? Well, I think it works a little bit like this. Somebody gives you a glass of water. That's great, he took it. That's good. Okay. And then you've got another one. Okay. And then, oh, somebody else has got a glass of water, so here you go. Okay. Yep. And then, oh, there's more. There's more. Here you go. Here you go. Oh, guess what? There's more. There you go. There you go. Oh, do you want more? Oh, here's some more. Here you go. Here you go. You want some more?
No.
You want some more?
No.
So what have we got here? A mess. A mess. Everything that's been given to him and that he's taking, it's getting spilled, it's being wasted, it's not being appreciated, right? All that's happening is like he's throwing cups, he's taking the good stuff that he's got, the glasses of water that he's got, and he's wasting it. He's got these things and he's not taking a drink, he's not using it well, it's just, it's being wasted and it's being ruined. And now I've got a great big puddle. Don't worry, it's his job to clean it up. What is maybe a better option for Brad here? What was that? What would happen in that situation? What would happen instead of Brad saying, well, there's glasses of water, so I'm going to take one, and then I'm going to take another one because it's there, and then I'm going to take another one because it's there. What if he said, no, I've got enough. My hands are full, thank you. And when he was given more, he gave them away. How much water is getting spilled now? How much water is being spilled now? None. Here's the thing. That's the difference between, thank you, Prad. Did I just call you Prad? I think so. I think Pastor Brad is what that's short for. Thank you, Prad. That's what that is the difference between covetous, which produces greed, and gratitude, which produces generosity. Covetous produces greed. Mine, mine, mine. And it makes a mess and it wastes. Gratitude says, my hands are full and I'm so thankful that my hands are full. The result is when you get more is to be generous and give it away. This is what Paul wrote to the Philippian church 2,000 years ago. Philippians chapter 4, it says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Again, desire isn't necessarily bad, but Paul is saying you need to take your desires to God and be thankful. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests, your desires, your needs to God. And later on in that same chapter, in verse 11, he says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. You may be familiar with that. With that passage, you may be familiar with that phrase, I can do all things who gives me strength. What Paul is saying here in this passage, in this chapter 4 of his letter to the Philippians, is that by being thankful for what God has given him and how he is providing for him, he doesn't have any driving desire to have more. The gratitude that he has cripples the power of covetous in his life. Gratitude cripples covetous. And so, what is our path forward? What is it that we need to do? What is it that we need to cultivate in order to get back to a merry Christmas? I think this is what we need to start building into our lives, is that we need to be thankful for what we have when we have it. Be thankful for what you have when you have it. Because that gratitude cripples covetous, and that gratitude produces generosity. You look at it and you take what God has given you and you appreciate it, you love it, you enjoy it, and you're able to then see the great value that it is, and it overflows, and instead of wasting it, instead of finding ways to have more and more of it, you end up being filled up, and the natural response is to give it away, to give it to others. And so if you want to have a generous spirit in your family, if you want to have a generous spirit in your kids, if you want to see your grandkids be generous, you need to cultivate gratitude. Because gratitude cripples covetous. And if you allow covetous to exist in your life or in the lives of your kids or in the lives of your grandkids or your brother or your sister or your parents or whatever dynamic, wherever you fit into your social setting, if you allow covetous to exist there, covetous will produce greed and snotty, bratty kids. It will. It will. But gratitude produces generosity. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that we are thankful for what we have when we have it. There are people all around the world who have much less than us. We pack shoeboxes full of toys to send around the world. We see people in need and we give to them, and they are excited to receive groceries. Some of you have received gifts from somebody that doesn't have very much, and you get this thing from them, and it's nothing extravagant, it's nothing over the top, but you know how much effort they put into giving you that gift, and that means more, doesn't it? We need to be thankful for what we have when we have it. And so I think our way forward is to cultivate that in our families. And the first thing you do is that if you are a parent or grandparent, you need to develop that in your life. You need to make sure that you are modeling that for your family. That you are being thankful for what you have when you have it, not constantly pursuing the next thing, not constantly reaching for more, because all that you're going to do is you're going to be there standing with cups of water, spilling it, making more and more and more of a mess. And your kids and your grandkids are going to continue that behavior. And so you need to set that example for the people around you. Secondly, you need to recognize the desires and the needs that you have in your life. Because again, desires aren't necessarily bad. It's desiring the wrong thing or the right thing at the wrong time. But you can take those desires, and what Paul says is through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, gratitude, bring them to God. You need to take them to God. You need to seek them from God first. Not from your job, not from your neighbors, not from your kids, not from your parents, not from the world. You need to take the desires and the needs and the things that are driving you in your life of whether you're thirsty, you're hungry, you just need something, you need to bring that to God and seek that from Him and ask Him to fulfill it. Maybe even ask Him if that's something that He wants for you right now or not. And so you need to model it for your kids, and then you need to go to God first about what it is that you are desiring. Thirdly, you need to avoid the temptation. If you are just going around scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever else you're on, or you're going shopping, or you have a habit of just kind of scrolling through Amazon or Temu or whatever, and you're swiping, looking for something that you might want to have. You don't even know you want it. You're scrolling to see if you do want it. How does that make sense? How many of you do that, though? No, Allison, I did not ask you to point. You confess your own sins, not somebody else's. Cut that stuff out. All you're doing is tempting. You're opening yourself up to the temptation to covet. Cut it out. Get rid of it. Why are you walking into a nest of snakes? Why are you walking into the temptation? Paul says to the Corinthians, you know what? There are going to be times when you're tempted and it's going to get really, really hard and God's going to give you a way out. And what we do is we walk right into the temptation and then we sit there. Get out of it. Set an example for your kids. Take your desires to God. Avoid the temptation. Make sure that you invest. Fourthly, make sure you invest in perspective. Sit down and think about what is an actual need and something that is a luxury. Is that thing that I want, is that a luxury or is that a need? And you need to be able to separate those categories effectively. And then finally, you need to make the choice to have gratitude. You've got to choose it. There may be parts inside of you that are just screaming for something else. And you've simply got to choose. No. I am going to choose to be grateful. And when you choose to be grateful, that cripples covetous and produces generosity. And so we need to be thankful for what we have when we have it so that we can have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.